Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already the 18th of May. It's Friday morning. Great Fridays. I hope you all have a happy Friday and a great weekend to come. It's an interesting thing, but it's always so exciting on Friday. I used to think that once I left the workforce that I would not think of Fridays the same, but it's alive and well. It's so cool. So have a great Friday. Today is Questions Friday, and I know the chat's coming on, so hang in there. I, for some reason, forgot to do it, and it actually works on Blog Talk today, so you can't even complain about it. But it's so cool that it does work. So I had a lot of questions this week. I posted things about how freedom to love grows to greater love. That created, for some reason, a huge influx in my inbox. And I was surprised because I thought, how could you not really know what that meant? Because, you know, but it was what I wrote about it and how every relationship will always have its own set of circumstances. And when we can trust somebody, we tend to open up more. And then we tend to stay. And then we tend to build in our minds some kind of future, some kind of feelings. And we're really, you know, solid about it. We don't start to think, oh, well, maybe if this works out. Well, maybe if that happens. Well, and we don't maybe it to death. We just start planning. So when somebody says there's never freedom in love, they think of love as a trap and that it hurts and that it's meant to be painful. Or that once you have somebody, you're supposed to have problems. But when you're in a place that's like that, my question back is, what keeps you there? What is the motivation for you to be able to stay? Staying in a relationship that you don't know why you're there, or you're upset that you're there, or that's a problem that you're there, is a problem. Nobody's relationship is perfect. There's times where people feel like they're at the ultimate aggravated with their partner. But those at times are just very temporary feelings, because a lot of it may have to do with you and how you feel. But when there's freedom to love, when you're allowed to love the way you love, even if that love isn't perfect, it's who you are when you love. You're generally nice. You're generally non-combative. Then your relationship will be like that. Some of us need a little drama. Some of us, we were raised with a lot of drama. We don't even realize how much until we get there. But the bottom line is that freedom that everyone, you know, says, well, what are you talking about? Freedom. Because it's how you look at love that affects that. And there's people who are in the beginning have a lot of freedom. Because you're just getting to know somebody. You don't know their parameters yet. You don't know what stops and starts them yet. And so what happens to you is that you yourself, which is the most interesting part, when you react, you start thinking it's your problem and not theirs. But trust comes from that freedom when you really feel it. if you don't feel that freedom over time, because you usually know in a month or two, all of a sudden the parameters are closing in and you need to live in them. That isn't freedom. You won't get to that greater love there. You're going to get stuck in all the problems. So it's interesting to me because it is a scary thing to think that, oh my gosh, I'm in a relationship that might not be in my best interest or in our best interest. What can my partner and I do to make it that way? So yesterday I had a lunch and I proposed this question to this woman, and it's only the second time I've ever met her, and I said to her, when a relationship says we're working on it, relationships are hard, what do you automatically think? And her answer immediately was, it's never going to work out. Relationships shouldn't be hard. And I've had hard relationships. But the one I have now taught me, it just taught me that there is another way. Keep looking. You will find it. And I thought that's true with everything. Think about a job. You're in a job, same. Keep looking until you find what works for you with time, making the right amount of money, enjoying going every day. All of the relationships we have, when there's freedom to love, it does grow you yourself as a person to greater love. People who love going to work every day, people who enjoy their partner and don't need to have drama to be feeling loved, because that happens where you just need the drama. Another instance I had yesterday, which this one was very sad, but the woman just is in this place in her life where she is not happy about the life she has lived. She's had some problems along the way. She has a marriage that's about 38 years in, but she somehow did not provide love for her family. And in those 38 years, now about half of them, she's been horrible to her children. Her children requested therapy. Her children, who are adults, trying to figure out what happened to them. And she just looks them in the eye and says, I feel nothing for you. And all they're trying to do is get love. Believe that in all this time, their mother did love them. Step further and told her husband, you know, go ahead and get a girlfriend. Stay married to me, but go ahead and get a girlfriend. I don't care what you do. And I thought, well, who would say that to their husband? And why? Because there's a lot of pain that isn't addressed. And to go back to the question, freedom to love grows to greater love. These people, the kids, the husband, are fighting freedom to love this person. And they're realizing one by one that they need to get away, that this is toxic at best. To have someone have that kind of blockage to love and refuse to see it, everyone else in her path, nobody's safe. Nobody. Not even her. So greater love, freedom, the freedom to love the way you understand loving. I will say this for the rest of my life. It took me until 55 years old to find that, to find it, just to know it exists. I had smidgens of it along the way. So if it hasn't happened yet, it can happen to any of us at any time. But the more important thing is, never stop looking and don't give up. Just don't give up. There's people who write when I post things, and this is when my mailbox blows up when I say things that people say, oh my gosh, wait a minute. That can't be possible. Where did you get that from? Why did you say that? And sometimes people will argue with me on my page. Sometimes they take it to the inbox. But it's okay to admit that you need love. It's okay to admit that you want love. Because when we admit it, now somebody else can admit it. Now somebody else can say, hey, wait a minute. I need love too. Wait a minute. We all need love. And there was another one about love that I wrote, which was, love knows when it's not around, neither is anyone else. And Christopher Sedre wrote, if you cannot love yourself, how do you expect to be able to make anyone else love you? Well, that's now the standard thinking, right? But it's not about loving yourself. It's about when love isn't around, literally, whether it's you can love yourself all you want and then walk into a room. And if love is not around in that room, because you understand love to a certain point, you'll instinctively know it's not there and you will leave. I've walked into big parties that looked great. And thought, God, I'd rather be home after dressing up and going and driving there. And in L.A., that's a big deal if you're going to drive somewhere far. It's going to take you half a trip to Chicago in time to get somewhere far. And I still thought, oh, my God, I can't wait to get home. I just wanted to get out of my clothes. I wanted to put my sweats on. I wanted to put my socks on and curl up and watch something. Then be in that room I was in. I felt so detached that I didn't even feel like talking. And it all boiled down to the fact that love knows when it's not around. Because love is an energy. We've been taught it's a feeling, it's a thing, it's somebody loving us back. But you can totally be comfortable in love without having anybody in your life if you understand it. Because what happens when people come in, that freedom you feel in the way you love is what gets shared, and that's when it grows to greater love. Love has been tricky, and I think the questions that I'm getting are because there's a lot of new people on the page, and their questions are a lot of what my questions were in the beginning. Understanding love. When people say, oh, well, this is going to happen anyway, and that's going to happen, and you're like, well, wait a minute, why does it have to be that hard, that bad, that scary? Who made that way? Well, we made it that way. Because of great marketing, we were taught that love is what other people do for us or say about us. And love isn't what they do for us and say about us. But the us part of it, our part of the love, that never got put into the equation. So we have forgotten, long forgotten, love. but it's come back, and it will keep coming back, and it will keep coming back over and over again, because that's all we are, and it's the only constant from the beginning of time until now. Love and injured love, and the war between the two. People doing things that don't benefit other people, and other people doing things that do, and that balance has gone on throughout history. So that's all I have to say about love. If I post anything about love and you want to blow up my inbox, go ahead. We'll work on it. The next thing I have is I have a question, and it was about anxiety. And it said, why am I doing fine? And then all of a sudden, during the day, I start to feel my heart racing, start to feel a little anxious. What's going on? And honestly, it's fully normal to feel that at times. And sometimes we don't know why. There isn't an explanation as to, oh, well, I just felt anxious. I had this thought or this happened or that happened. Now, this is not when I'm talking about extreme anxiety where you need to be medicated for anxiety. But this person just wrote that they don't understand why during the day they'll just be doing what they're doing, and all of a sudden they'll feel this anxious feeling or this rush. And I had to go back, and I talked about this at the summit, about breathing and about sleeping. Mostly I talked about sleeping, because sleeping is the most overlooked part of our lives, and it's actually the biggest part of our lives. So we talked about sleeping, but then I thought, well, wait a minute, there's the breathing. And I've done shows about breathing, about how important breathing is. And it doesn't mean you stop and you breathe deep all day, because you can't. But when you feel anxiety and you feel that kind of breathing, all you have to do is just kind of reel yourself in and sit. And if you can, because not all the time can you do this, but if you can't close your eyes, just breathe all the way into your belly, come back up, and release it slowly, just slowly as you're coming up. It's almost like you're resetting yourself, because that anxiety, when it shows up, whether we feel pressure or not, whether we're rushing or not, whether we're stressed or not, something just needs to catch up inside of you. We forget that we shallow breathe most of the time, and we're rushing most of the time. You know, look around you, ask yourself questions. Well, what do I have that's making me maybe feel a little bit pressured? What's going on that I can't relax myself? But it's always good to just breathe. Breathing solves, believe it or not, easily just that kind of temporary anxiety that you might get. People who started meditating in the morning, and meditation comes and goes. It gets big, it gets trendy, then it fades off, then it gets big again. And now it's running into the waves of those who don't want to know. It's becoming that common. It's like, those who knew always did it. They taught the people who didn't know. Now the people who didn't know are teaching, the people who do or don't want to know. And so the cycle is happening. But meditation, there's more to it than that. And people are realizing it's hard to clear all of your thoughts. How do you stop your mind without stopping everything? But there's different ways to do it. The breathing part is very important, even if you just do it once a day. Because once we breathe, it does allow us to somehow objectively look at the stuff we think about that we're trying not to think about in meditation, but actually let yourself think things through all the way to the end. So that you say, oh, okay, So if I just seen this workout, at least I saw it in my mind. It didn't happen in life yet, but at least I saw it in my mind. And once you see it in your mind, it solves itself, and you find a way to relax in that. And then I had to think, and I said, gosh, you know, I had that feeling two or three times this week, myself. And I didn't know why. And I thought, well, what am I rushing for? A lot of what I was looking for is happening. I'm doing it. And Christ just said, you're forever growing. You'll never stop growing. And I actually know that, but I needed to be reminded of it, that with everything we want and everything we don't want, it still poses its challenges to us. It still is a challenge. And that whole thing about breathing came back into my life because I forget it. I forget it until I need it is really the story. The other day I found out I did something. I didn't know at the time that I did it, but I did something really, when I think about it, it was just so stupid. But I didn't know. And I was cleaning, helping somebody clean out a part of their house, and they forgot to tell me, or forgot themselves, that they had a box that they had some valuables in. And I looked at the box and said, wow, this is like 10 years overdue. What the heck are they doing with this? And I threw it away. I just threw it away. It took them about a week to realize, oh, wait a minute, I hid stuff in there. They asked me if I saw it. I had no idea what they were talking about. That was real anxiety. Not that the other isn't real, but like real, like I almost panicked. And then I just said, how would I have known? And they said, well, we knew and we didn't want to tell you. Oh my gosh, why did you? Like, why did you tell me? But I literally had to take like a deep breath. I wasn't even conscious of it. It's like my body had to do it because I was getting lightheaded. And I just had to take a deep breath. And then as we were talking about it, it happened again. And then I had to do it again. And I was so sad. Thank God it wasn't like a valuable with sentimental value on top of it, because that would have killed me. But that's just how they hit it. And how did I know? And they knew that I was going to help them with that. They just couldn't remember. That's a different kind of anxiety than the kind that just shows up out of nowhere. But just remember to breathe. That was the story of my daughter when she got. Work and we finally get in, and you know, 2 hours later, and she's, you know, panicking, and it just didn't stop even while we were there. And we get in the room, and they gave her a paper bag, and told her, breathe all the way in and blow up the bag, and then breathe it all back out. All the way out, breathe it all back in, breathe. And all she had to do was breathe. And she felt so stupid. And she's like, I can't believe we just came here for a whole afternoon. Okay, I'm reconnected. I got disconnected. Can you guys hear me? Let me know in the chat, because I think I see Francis. And I see Liam in the chat. Good morning, you guys. Good afternoon to Liam. Can you hear me? Is the sound there? Let me know in the chat if you guys are still there. So I'm going to continue with this story about my daughter, because once we found out that breathing was behind it. So my answer to the person who asked me, why does this happen in the middle of the afternoon, you may have not caught up to yourself. Just breathing, sleeping, putting yourself around people you're connected to, all those things, as we get older, make a bigger and bigger difference in our lives. When we're younger and we're in school, we're around a bunch of kids, and then in high school, we're around a bunch of teenagers, and we're used to being around people, whether we get along with them or not, or need to, or care. But then when we get out, we choose a job. We may choose any job because we want a job. But then as we get older, we start wanting a specific kind of job. We want, you know, certain kinds of friends that we get along with, that we have the same interests with. We start wanting to live in an area that we feel connected to. All of that starts filtering. And then the rest is just sleep and eat and breathe. Breathe well. Sleep. If you feel sleepy and it's 8 o'clock and you go, it's too early to sleep, but you really feel sleepy, go to sleep. I know it sounds crazy. I know you might miss those 2 hours, but I will tell you the next day when you wake up, you will have more energy to do those things. And you'll get them done faster. But our basic needs are breathing and sleeping. I know we have to eat, but water even being more important. And those kinds of things hedge on the sides of anxiety. Anxiety, the definition of it, is fear of the future. But when you feel okay and you feel solid, you don't feel that fear. You guys, I have 10 seconds. Have a great weekend. Sorry for the interruption. Thank you, Blog Talk. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.